It's not about us. It's about Jesus and people who do not yet know him. And that once our lives are oriented toward those two causes and purposes, then we start to have meaning and value and purpose. Because we're not just living absolutely self-absorbed lives and turning the church into the place where our perceived needs are met, but rather the place we are trained, taught, so that we might leave the four walls of the church and bring the love and life of Jesus to others and celebrate in the fact that we have the privilege of seeing other people move closer to Jesus and some come to faith in him. How can this happen? What is the selected strategy that Jesus articulates that his people would be outward focused, not inward focused, and they would have a love for non-Christians and their cities, and that their heart's desire would be to bring the love and truth of Jesus to as many people as possible? Well, Jesus actually models this strategy himself. He is sent by God the Father. He is God the Son. He is sent into human history. He is sent as a missionary. He says this repeatedly in the Gospels, particularly John's Gospel, where he says, "The Father has sent me." So Jesus is a missionary sent into a time and a place and a people and a culture and a language to bring the love and the life of God among them. Jesus is also ascending God. He sends his followers into cities, into towns, into schools, into businesses, into homes, to love, to serve, to seek the well-being of all people, and to see the salvation of as many people as is possible. And here we read that it begins with him selecting 12 who were disciples, senior leaders. They followed him and were trained by him. And now he adds to their number 72. These are unpaid people. We would use the language in our modern day nomenclature that they are volunteers. They're unpaid, like perhaps most of you. They're not getting paid to do ministry. This isn't their job. In our culture, we would call this a volunteer. This is someone who says, "I want to be a member of Marshall Church," or "I want to lead a community group," or "host a community group," or "lead a redemption group," or "lead a worship team," or "I want to serve in some capacity. I want to take a portion of my time and I want to specifically designate it for the purposes of God, and I want to volunteer those hours as an unpaid leader and servant to see if my efforts, combined with the efforts of others, couldn't help the mission of God move forward and more people meet Jesus. What's interesting is we don't know the names of these people, but God knows their names. They're like the many faithful, consistent, godly volunteers in churches and ministries who do a lot of hard, difficult work with a good attitude out of love for God. That the Bible doesn't record their names as it does the 12, but it does tell us that they were specifically bestowed with dignity by Jesus. They were brought together as a group. They were identified as a group, and then they were sent out two by two. And this is always how ministry should be done. That as we're deployed, as we're sent, as we're missionaries scattering, it is good to do ministry two by two for accountability, to make sure you don't compromise or get into sin, to have another witness in case there's some false accusation or charge, as well to work things through and talk things through and learn together and love one another and build a friendship and pray together. Of course, if it's a husband and wife, that's a fantastic twosome. In addition, it could be friends working together. That's why oftentimes in our ministries, we have a redemption group leader and trainee, community group leader and trainee. We like to pair people up so that they're working together. That's the model of Jesus. Ministry is not to be done by an individual necessarily, but by a team of people working together. And he sends them out. And what he tells them is that the harvest is plentiful, that there is great opportunity, that there are many people whom God has already been working on and working in and opening their heart toward Jesus, and they need someone who knows and loves him to come and serve them and speak to them, to answer their questions, and to see them come to a life-saving, eternal life-giving relationship with Jesus. Marcel, I would just ask you this question. Do you believe that there is a great harvest for us? Do you believe that there are thousands, tens of thousands of people that God will save? And to do that, we are sent.